and you need and everything that flies. It's all about the race and it's everything we know. Full down throttle, welcome to the show. Race Day Rock, it's your speedway report now. Race Day Rock, it's your facts from the track.
Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. The NASCAR Xfinity Series does a rain dance in mid-Ohio. What do you think about stock cars on a road course in the rain? A Sunday afternoon in mid-August, and where were all the national sanctioning bodies? Good question. Picking up the slack, however, were dirt racers with some big money shows, and they were happy to enjoy the spotlight. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, August the 15th, 2016. From the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us tonight. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is with us. Riddle for our audience: how do you know Tim Leeming is about to say something intelligent? He begins his sentence with, "I once heard Coastal Jack say." So what's going on, Daddy J?
That's good. I hope Tim's listening. He's not. I don't see him on chat. So anyway, that's good.
Yeah, I was hoping he'd be there too. I was kind of...
Yeah.
He's blank on the chat.
I'll have to remember that one. I got to repeat that.
Yeah, and you're joining him Tuesday night for Racing Through History, our goat rodeo here on Racers Reunion Radio. Great Tuesday show. So I want you to carry that, put that in your pocket, and keep that with you for tomorrow.
You got it.
Yeah. You can actually fill that in with anything you like.
Oh, I'll embellish that a little bit.
Yeah. And you can blame me. Feel free to back the bus right over me.
There'll be all those things that we're not supposed to use as journalists. Embellishment, hyperbole. What else can we throw in there?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
No, I like Coastal Jack, and he's easy to talk to, and I thought I'd go with that. There's a lot of other names you could have put in there to... Yeah. I mean, we all know what gets right under his skin there, so feel free to knock yourself out.
He's been putting up with it for a long time, though, you know?
And good for him, as he should. Yeah. He should be putting it up for a long time, yeah. Yeah. Kind of eager for him to be here so he could give him more of a hard time. How's things down at the beach? We're, gosh, cresting towards the end of summer. How's everything on the surf and the sand?
Man, it's hot and busy. You know, it's been a really, really hot summer here. The hottest summer since I've lived here. I've been here since 2001. I mean, every summer you get some hot days, but, man, it's been hot for weeks. It's been 90 to 100 or over, you know, every day. But it's beautiful, and it's been a good tourist season. We've had a lot of folks here, and still a lot of folks here. A little lighter this week than in the past, but good stuff, man.
Kids heading back to school soon, so that could certainly... Some of them already have.
Yeah,
so
some of them already have. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I know some schools around here near the Charlotte area, a few of them started this week, depending on where you were going. But, that could be thinning them out. You know what? I don't know. I'll pick your brain here a little bit. This is a little unprepared, but we haven't had a tourist traffic report North Myrtle Beach in a while. Do you have anything handy?
Man, there's just it happens every single day. And it's a funny thing. Yesterday, after driving to the office, I was on the internet looking at dash cams for this very reason, because I was driving down the road and I'm thinking, no one would believe this, you know. So why don't I'm thinking about putting a dash cam on the car and just starting a video blog on it or something. I don't know. It's crazy, man. I mean, it is absolutely insane, the kind of things that happen. And I think it's just anyone who lives here and drives in this, it's only a matter of time until they get into at least a fender bender or something, because basically every time I get in my car, I have to take some sort of defensive or evasive type of movement to avoid something. It never fails. The most common one, though, and the one that I saw yesterday, is the one where they come all the way across four or five lanes of traffic to make a move, you know.
Mm-hmm, right out there on like 17 or wherever in front of the studio.
And we understand that you're not familiar with things here, and you're driving in the right lane on the sixth lane, and you realize that you should be over to the turn lane, because that's where you want to turn, and you just go. But the, I guess the best one that I've seen in a long time was a car from North Carolina. It was a Suburban, a maroon Suburban, Tahoe, not Suburban. And I was leaving the studio and noticed that there was a lot of animation up in the car ahead. There was at least four passengers in it, maybe more. And I thought maybe they were just jiving to some music and, you know, having a good time. But all of a sudden, the car stopped, slammed on the brakes. I slammed on mine, right in the middle, no red lights or anything there, and there's two people in the front seat fighting.
So like they, fisticuffs.
Fisticuffs, okay. So they make up for a few minutes, and they go about another 150 yards and stop and do the whole thing again, you know. So, but it's you name it, it happens here. That's your traffic report, man. And I'm going to do that, though. I'm going to buy one of those dash cams.
Yeah.
And just put a little micro SD chip in it and bring it out every day and upload it, and that'll be my report.
Well,
the tour lines.
Yeah, while you said that, I was brainstorming myself in my head, and everybody gets great entertainment about the website People of Walmart.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
We could do tourists of North Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, the Turons.
The Turons.
Yeah. We love them. We appreciate them coming, but, man, wish they'd learn to drive. Maybe they just forget when they get here. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But you can just about bet that 99% of the time it's an out-of-state car when something like that happens. And like I said, I get it. You know, you're not where you want to be. You're supposed to be.
Yep.
You're not from here. It doesn't matter who you piss off. So we'll just dive across three lanes of traffic, get into the turn lane, and there.
Now, me personally, I am more of a kind of guy that will be in the right-hand lane, see I have to turn left, go down to the next light in the intersection.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
that's the courteous guy. Yeah, that's what you should do.
That's me.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah. But I guess the dumbest thing in the world are the people that come here and they walk across all six lanes in the turn lane, seven lanes. And in the nighttime, not on a light, but you'll be going down the road and there's somebody standing in the turn lane. It's dark.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're crossing. Dude, I've seen people do 60, 70 miles an hour in those turn lanes. That is not something you should do. I just feel like I need to write a book or something or do a blog that says, don't do this when you come to Myrtle Beach because you will get run over.
I know when we crossed the street to go to lunch, we crossed the highway. We ran.
Same
and it was
things.
All
it's
six
like,
lanes
it's,
at once.
It's like a Frogger game getting across there.
Yeah, one shot. We ran.
It's tough in the daytime, but you think about the people that do that at night.
Sure.
And,
yeah. No street lights will come up the center. We're going to make a turn. Innocent driver not doing anything. Darkness, there's a human there.
Yep. You run, and so many times they're wearing dark clothes. And I don't know. But that's it, man. You asked for it.
Yeah, I did.
Get me started. I'll talk about it.
You never fail to deliver. Well, it does involve traffic, and we're a racing show, so there is a connection there with cars and trade and paint, so to speak. So
yeah.
I'll buy that. That's good.
Yeah.
You talk about your dash cam, maybe recording some of the tourists and what they are doing. I played around with our video camera myself.
Oh, did you? Cool.
Last night. Yes, the new one. Yeah. That will be part of Speedway Report Television. And I have a promotional video. Now, it promos this broadcast right here, so there's really, you know, the promotional aspect
cool.
of
yeah.
this.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it is. And I'm just not quite 100% sure where it all went.
It was there, and then it was gone, right?
It was there. It uploaded to my Facebook page. I shared it with Speedway Report on Facebook, the Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds page. And then... Yeah. I was supposed to go to Twitter as well, and I believe it's on the Ustream Speedway Report channel.
You have a caller. Hank, just keep talking to yourself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Well, anyway, we have some equipment here that Jeff brought up and installed for me, and cameras, microphones, whatnot.
I missed it.
It is not quite ready for primetime television yet, but I used it for a promotional video yesterday just to promote the show yesterday to get my feet wet and to keep it fresh and use new ways of promotion. So, Jeff, do you have someone on the phone?
No, I didn't get there quickly enough.
Oh, bummer. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, hopefully they'll call back because, as I did, well, we'll talk about promotion of the show. Tonight's show, we usually have a call-in guest. Tonight, we do not have a call-in guest, so we are opening up the phone lines the entire show to you guys out in the audience, 843-272-1900. Now, normally, Jeff is manning the phones, and he is manning the phones. We were just yakking here a little bit to intro the show, and he couldn't get to that call in time. So if you have something hopefully auto racing related you'd like to be a part of, chat with me a little bit as I watch a piece of equipment fall off the desk and onto the floor. I think at times like this, I'm glad that television is not running right now. I'm still a radio guy. So, yeah, we will open up the phone lines here in a little bit and just chat with you. So if you want to call in, Jeff, I promise, will answer the phone. He will shoot me a message and let me know, hey, dude, somebody wants to talk to you. He thinks I don't know what I'm talking about, which is cool. I'd happily talk to you about that.
I see unpublished video on Ustream. I'm just looking here to see if I can find your video while you're there.
Yeah. I'm a rookie at this stuff, you know, so I could easily have zigged when I should have zagged.
Yeah, it looks like that may have been what happened, although there's nothing there. It's black. Oh, well.
So, on the Speedway Report channel.
Wait, it says it's unpublished, so let me... You keep talking. I'll figure this out. I'll come in there somewhere and tell you about it, all right?
Okay, yeah. We might be able to share that with the audience as we get closer and closer to television reality. So anyway, I made the video last night using some equipment that we are going to use for Speedway Report television. I've used some Facebook Live promotions over the past few weeks, but that's simple enough as pulling up the Facebook app on my phone, holding it in front of me and talking for about 30 seconds. So, it's not bad. But I wanted to step up my game a little bit, so we used a little bit of video here from the studio. Now, the studio is not complete. All the equipment's not quite in place. We're working on a lot of things still. But I thought, hey, mid-construction, you guys can have a look at, get an idea anyway of what it will look like. So, on to that, it is on, if you're friends with me on Facebook, it is there on my personal page. It should be on the Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds Facebook page if you like that page. And if you don't like that, you should go over there and give it a like. And they should be there. Pull it up, play it, watch it, tell me what you think. I'd be interested in hearing your opinion. Don't worry, they'll get better too. Some of these, just like a brand new race car, sometimes you take it to the racetrack, you know it's going to be real good, but right off the trailer, yeah, you need some fine tuning to get it right where you want it to be. But all that is coming, so if you are on social media with me on Facebook, have a look at the new video, not just a cell phone live video, but a new Speedway Report, soon to be TV video. And I'll stick this in right here. My wife's grandmother, Marie Carson, we learned passed away last night at the wise old age of 98. 98 years young she was. She would have been 99 in November. So if you have a spare prayer that you're willing to offer, she could sure use them. She's doing well. Old great-grandma Marie, she actually had a great-great-grandson. And she got to meet him, which not everybody does in life. So prayers out to Marie Carson, the Crawford side of my family, everybody there. Maybe some of you are tuning in tonight, and thoughts and prayers are with Grandma Marie down in Fort Myers, Florida, who went home last night, so to speak. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in tonight on racersreunion.com. Both our chat rooms. We got the stock car site and the drag racing site up and running. People are signing in, getting ready for Monday evening bench racing. Myself, as well as Jeff here, and Barb and Thomas Warren are in the drag racer site. Danny is with us on the stock car site, along with Larry Leon and, well, Stars Radio. Jerry Smith still holding strong. He's in there a lot, so always good to bench race with you guys. If you would like to bench race with them, racersreunion.com. Head on over, pick your poison, stock cars or drag racing. Join us on the chat room. We were looking for the legend Tim Leeming earlier because I teased him a little bit, and as luck would have it, he's not with us. So that's a bummer. And likely Leo is listening to us from Brazil. Always a pleasure to have him with us in South America each week. And if he doesn't listen live, I know he downloads the podcast. And if you're making Speedway Report a regular stop from Brazil, big hat tip to you. We're going to hit up the victory lane very shortly. The victory lane lap tell you who won what. It was a pretty busy weekend, even though lack of national series were there. I'll expand on that shortly, but if you'd like to call tonight, as I said, we have no guest scheduled, so I've got time to fill. I want to talk to you guys. We don't talk enough. 843-272-1900. Phone lines are open. Were you up in Knoxville, Iowa for the Nationals? Did you go to Florence, Kentucky? Big, big dirt late model racing there. Or Thompson, Connecticut last week for the Modifieds, my one of my home track that I grew up going to, and a lot of the same crew. They're on the road to Bristol, Tennessee right now, if you're listening, 843-272-1900. I'm going to pull up the victory lane lap and give you the results from all the races, major touring anyway, over the weekend, and a little bit of local flair as well. The NASCAR Xfinity Series raced at the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, and the strongest competitor was Mother Nature. It was a rainy road course race, and it was won by Justin Marks in a Ganassi ride. Sam Hornish Jr. was second, Ryan Blaney third, Ty Dillon fourth, Justin Allgaier was fifth. Like I said about Thompson, the NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour raced at the Connecticut Oval last Wednesday. Justin Bonsignor passed favored driver Doug Coby near halfway and held off the deuce to win the King of Beers 150. Coby came home second, Bobby Santos was third, Woody Pitcat was fourth, and Ryan Preece was fifth. That tour will be in Bristol, Tennessee tomorrow as they open up the gates for some practice and inspection. Their big race will be Wednesday night of this week, 150 laps as they pair with a doubleheader with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. The K&N Pro Series West Tour was in Evergreen, Washington for the NAPA 150 Saturday night. Todd Gilliland won his fifth tour race of 2016. McAnally Racing teammates Chris Eggleston and Riley Herbst were second and third, with Grayson Roz and Ryan Partridge rounding out the top five. Now, Gilliland joins his father, David, and grandfather, Butch, as winners at Evergreen Speedway right now. Gilliland also leads the championship standings. Now, on the dirt, the Lucas Oil Late Models raced in Florence, Kentucky. They began their weekend last Thursday. This, I talk about big money dirt races, this was a huge one for the late models. On Thursday night, two-time series champion Scott Blomquist won the Ralph Lathan Memorial and $30,000. In a close race for second, Don O'Neill edged Dennis Erb Jr., Bobby Pierce was fourth, and Jared Landers was fifth. On Friday, they did qualifying for the North-South 100, which they raced on Saturday night. Bobby Pierce started 16th, passed Blomquist on lap 91, and he earned $50,000 for that win. Bloomer settled for second, Dale McDowell third, Devin Moran fourth, and Don O'Neill was fifth. Great weekend there. Between those two feature races, they paid out $80,000 just in the winner's purses for those events. The World of Outlaw Late Models ran four tracks in 4 days in the Northeast. Last Thursday, they were in Del Mar, Delaware. Josh Richards was your winner. Big weekend for him. I'll explain shortly. Brandon Overton was second. Shane Clanton was third, then local drivers Kenny Pettyjohn and Amanda Whaley were fourth and fifth. Friday in Buds Creek, Maryland, Richards won again for the 73rd tour win of his career. He becomes the all-time race win leader for World of Outlaw Late Models. Jason Covert was second, Clanton, Overton, and Rick Eckert followed through the top five. Saturday night in Winchester, Virginia, Billy Moyer Jr., won his first series race. Covert, Clanton, Richards, and Dale Hollidge were second through fifth. And last night in Erie, Pennsylvania, Richards rolls to winner's circle again ahead of Steve Casebolt, Jared Miley, Max Blair, and Clanton. Now let's get to the biggest race, in my opinion, of the weekend. The World of Outlaw Sprint Cars ran the 56th annual Knoxville Nationals in Iowa. Back up to Wednesday, Shane Stewart won the opening night over Donnie Schatz, Chad Kaminaugh, Darren Pittman, and Jamie Veal. On Thursday, Tim Kading won, followed by Jason Johnson, Terry McCarl, Kerry Madsen, and Dale Blaney. On Friday, Rico Abreu won the non-qualifiers A-Main ahead of Greg Hodnett, Danny Lasoski, Lucas Wolt, and Tim Schaefer. Craig Kinzer won the Speed Sport Challenge, and Saturday's big finale, The E main was won by John Agan. The D main by Austin McCarl. The C main, Davey Heskin. The B main by Kyle Larson. And the 56th annual Knoxville Nationals and $150,000 was won by Jason Johnson. The top five were Donnie Schatz, Shane Stewart, Darren Pittman, and Kyle Larson. Came all the way to fifth from the B main. Those on hand say the back and forth battle between Johnson and Schatz was one of the best sprint car races they have ever seen. And with that, I'll put a pause on the victory lane lap and open up the phone lines. We have our first caller of the evening. Patty Kay is on. How are you, my dear?
I'm just fine. How are you, my darling?
Very good. Pleasure to have you back on Speedway Report. Thanks for calling.
I'm here every week. I just, you know, if you have a guest on, I don't bother you.
I never bother.
I talk and talk and talk. So.
It's a good quality to have for a radio show. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, yeah, at times it is. At other times it can be a pain.
Fits perfect.
I've been on that end too a few times, you know.
Yeah, I've heard of that, but that's okay. It's radio.
This is true, especially live radio. It's fun.
Yeah, it's different from my writing, because in the writing I can delete or backspace if I don't like something, how it comes out. You can't
tell
do that
it,
radio.
Darling.
Once
I
it's
write
out,
a lot.
It's out.
You
know? No. You write a lot, and I write. I'd like to write more, but yeah, I like the backspace button. We're here
like
in radio.
To see
I don't
you write
have
more. You write good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So, what do you think?
A
little
people speak English anymore, you know, and can write properly.
Yeah. I mean, I see that in social media a bit. That it's a little bit of a. Sometimes it's a little bit of a stretch to get people to do that correctly. But that's okay. I do cut people a lot of slack.
Okay. I called to say a few words about the Xfinity race.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good.
Yes. I'm so glad to hear that some other people watched it besides me, because I thought no one would when they scheduled it in that ridiculous late afternoon slot. On a channel that nobody knows where it lives.
Yeah, it
came on with basketball doing double overtime, and I thought, oh, God, this is so doomed.
Yeah, race fans had to be a hearty bunch for the Xfinity race on Saturday. Late afternoon time slot, the USA Network, which people had to find, and then the start of the race was preempted
exactly.
a little bit while they finished an Olympic basket.
Well, you are talking to Mama Hardy, because I stuck through all of it. And as you'll see when my article comes out on Thursday, I did not put a heavy object through my television screen.
Okay, good. What did you think of the race?
I loved the race. I'll tell you, you know how old I am. The world knows how old I am.
Old enough to vote.
Many times over.
So you like that, road racing in the rain with the stock cars. You thought it was a good race.
I did. I have seen races on road courses where people weren't, didn't know too much of what they were doing. And I have seen a few in the rain, and most of those are comical. This one was high comedy. I described it as mayhem relating to the, like the Three Stooges.
Okay.
The Keystone Cops. It was delightful. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got mad. NASCAR kept their caution flags in their pocket for a change, for the most part, unless somebody was hopelessly mired and just let them muck through it. You know.
Sure. You enjoyed the race, I guess. Let me, if I catch this right, more from an entertainment standpoint as far as a good racing standpoint, a little bit of a difference?
Actually, both. I mean, I appreciate racing in the rain, because it's darn near impossible for the big guys. I mean, I'm talking Formula One, They lose it in slide, too. My first thought was, half of these kids have never been on a road course, and almost none of them have ever raced in the rain. So here we go, we're off for a good time. And that's the way I went into it, and I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it.
It is a particular skill set to handle that type of a you know, to handle that type of a race, that type of a track, that type of a day. That's a very, very specialized skill. And there's very few people in that field that had any experience of them. And I think when the checkers flew, you see saw those people. They were in the top five and the top ten, the ones that have done it before.
Exactly. I could have named him from the offset and did mentally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, he's done it, you know. The kid that surprised me was Ryan Blaney, who admits that he's, you know, not a road racer, but boy, does he learn fast.
In the rain, no less. He's a very good...
Yeah,
he's
not up third.
Yeah, all his experience of Fender... Fendered late models, ovals. He came up through the ranks like a typical stock car guy does. Yeah, road courses in general, even in the dry, are an unknown aspect to him. Never mind the rain.
He's
so yeah, outstanding.
Now beginning
job.
To learn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his rookie year, and in Cup, I imagine he's done a couple in the Xfinity series, but I've heard him interviewed. You know, at either Sonoma or the Glen, maybe both, and readily admits, you know, that he just, you know, that's something brand new to him. He's never done it before,
mm-hmm.
and he's learning. But this kid mm-hmm. learns fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got all of Daddy's genes and some from someplace else, you know.
Well, his father was a very, very good short track racer. He came up.
I know
came
he
up,
was. I mean, I watched Dave for years, you know.
Mm-hmm. Got the Winston Cup and never really had the success he was looking for, but still tremendous
so
family genes there.
You know, because I don't think he ever really got the ride that his talent deserved either.
No, I don't think he was ever in a winning, call it winning equipment. You know, he did well in certain rides, but no, he never had
it. That happens to a lot of them that get a bad rap. I remember Scott Pruitt when he came over with that Cal Wells team?
Sure do, yep, PPI Motorsports, absolutely.
Yeah, and Cal Wells knew less about NASCAR than Bernie Ecclestone, you know?
Yeah.
But he came over and he had a team because for a while there, everybody thought it was easy money. Well, they found out. Now, you know, Scott Pruitt is a championship road racer time after time after time, but he never had the chance in Winston Cup to do what he could do or show what he could do.
Mm-hmm. Scott Pruitt is definitely a championship race car driver, but yeah, stock car racing on ovals. He had a shot, was not in the best, and he made the most of it, but yeah. Just that one situation, I think a lot of, you know, from what I hear or what I know, actually, some of the IndyCar crew or open wheel crew comes over here and thinks it is very simple simply because it's stock cars. And there's an old adage around the NASCAR shops and in the garage area. It goes something like this. It says, look, the reason we run steering boxes is that because that's what the rule book says. It's not that we're too stupid to understand a rack. We understand racks just fine. We just run boxes because that's what the rule book says. Do you catch my drift? And that's basically it, how you got to explain this to an IndyCar guy from the outside, because they look, some of them, not all of them, some of them look at this, you know, kind of turn their nose up. And you have to explain to them, look, you know, we're racers here too. It's just that it's a different type of racing than what you're used to. So we're good on both sides of the fence.
Oh, you know, I respect drivers from any series in any venue. I pretty much love it all.
Yeah,
I have the brains to realize that there is a huge difference between NASCAR and IndyCar and Formula One, you know, World of Outlaws, you know.
Yeah. I like all of them. I cannot pick just one. I won't
too,
stick to just one.
I don't expect them to be the same, you know?
I don't want them to be the same.
No,
I like the difference.
It's delightful that there's a difference, you know?
I want to watch 500 miles on a super speedway. I know what I'm in for. I also enjoy 30-lap feature on dirt with the fast guy starting in the back. I know the difference, and I enjoy that. I enjoy both.
And it doesn't necessarily mix to try and interchange the two.
No, not always, but good racers. I think good racing is good racing, and I've always just, you know, my whole life, I've just been a fan of everything. You know, as long as it's got an engine, it goes fast.
For the experience that those kids had on Saturday.
Yeah.
They put out some pretty good racing. I don't care how many times they were off track. Most of them finished.
Yeah. A lot of them came back. They slid off. They got stuck. They got pulled out. They came back. So there you go. It was a pretty good time.
Yeah, it kept changing and changing, you know, and they kept going back and coming back forth, and I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I look forward to...
I thought the racing, you know, for what you would expect out of that series was excellent.
Mm-hmm. No, I enjoyed it too. I thought it was good. It could have been. I was on the fence a little bit whether this was the type of situation that they should race in the rain, or maybe they should postpone it, wait till it was dry. Before it started, I was on the fence. I believe the race had a good entertainment aspect of it. Don't necessarily know if it was a good racing type of event.
I had both. It held me every minute of that race. I never left the screen.
Well, that's fantastic. I look forward to reading your column this coming Thursday. That'd be good.
You a notice like I always do.
Like you always do. It'll be out there on the internet, folks. Well, thanks for the call, Patty Kay. Appreciate talking to you on the air once again. Fantastic.
Yes, sir. RaceFansForever.org.
Mm-hmm. Check her out. Her column is up later this week. Thank you so much for the call, Patty. We'll talk to you later. And I guess she's gone. Have a good night, Patty. We'll talk to you soon. Pleasure speaking with her. Always good to hear from her and any of our audience that wants to call in. Got some more stuff I want to talk about, but we've gone all this way of you. We have yet to squeeze in a commercial break. I got to do that right now. We'll step away for a few minutes, pay some bills. We'll be back on the other side with more of Speedway Report. I am Patrick Reynolds. We will be back right after this.
Dedicated to the live performance of beach music, blues, and funk, Blackwater Rhythm and Blues Band is the perfect choice for your event or music venue anywhere along the Carolina coast or inland. The diverse background of all the band members makes for the perfect mix to please any crowd. Visit the website at www.blackwaterrhythmandbluesband.com or click the banner here on Shag City USA to book them for your next gig.
Shag City USA and Beach Music Scene Magazine are proud to welcome Ginger Jewelry to our family. Check them out on the inside front cover of the latest edition of Beach Music Scene Magazine or go to their website at www.gingerjewelry.net. That's Ginger, J-I-N-J-A, gingerjewelry.net. Check out this fantastic selection of handcrafted Balinese jewelry. That's Ginger Jewelry. GingerJewelry.net.
The Don Hamrick Drum Center is located in the heart of Shag City, USA, right on Main Street in downtown North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Since opening in April 2013, the Don Hamrick Drum Center has created an unmatched inventory of drum sets and accessories and has become a full-service music store. With over 35 years of experience, legendary drummer Don Hamrick offers beginner, intermediate, and advanced drum lessons. Check him out by clicking the banner here on Shag City, USA, or go directly to his site at www.donhamrick.com.
A broken heart, I can't help you. Rocket science, don't know what to tell you. I may not know how to get you to the moon, but I sure do know what the 1992 firing order is for your pickup. Your plug wires ought to cure that little hiccup. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I think about.
Know-how.
Welcome back to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds. Thanks for tuning in tonight. And Jeff jamming out some great music, some new music we have for the show. Good to hear that. A little, some good rock stuff, paying tribute to Ron Pestana there with some help. But good stuff for the show. I like it. Our victory lane lap, we put a pin in that a few moments ago. I want to pick it back up. I got a few more results to talk to you about. The USAC Silver Crown cars raced in Salem, Indiana on Saturday night, where Cody Swanson won the Joe James Pat O'Connor Memorial. The USAC Midgets traveled east and were rained out last night in Susquehanna, Pennsylvania. They are racing at Path Valley Speedway in Pennsylvania tonight. Speaking of Pennsylvania, at the Grandview Speedway last Saturday, Craig Van Doren won the 50-lap Forrest Rogers Memorial for small block modifieds and $10,000. Dylan Swinehart won the Sportsman Feature, and Ron Klein won the late models. And at the Madhouse Bowman Gray Stadium in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, the twin 50-lap modified features were won by Chris Fleming and Jonathan Brown. Like I said earlier, 843-272-1900 gets you on the air. We had no guest scheduled this evening, just phone calls for you and some good old bench racing. Patty Kay filled up some nice time with her thoughts on the Xfinity Series race in Mid-Ohio on Saturday. What a good question to put out to you guys, NASCAR road racing in the rain, and particularly that Xfinity race. Good, bad, or ugly? What did you think of it? I had mixed thoughts of it. Patty Kay obviously liked it. She said as much. I did too, but with some reservations. The road racing in NASCAR in general lately has been much better. I have been not a fan of it for years. I've been a fan of road racing, just not stock cars on road courses. I like road racing for cars that are designed for road racing. And stock cars, just big, heavy, high center of gravity, low tire patch. You know, the contact patch is small. I didn't think they put on the best racing, and really for years they did not. It has been very good lately. In the past several years, the races at Watkins Glen and Sonoma, for instance, for Sprint Cup cars have been very good. The Xfinity cars as well, been pretty good. Now the rain, was it entertaining or good racing? Patty thought it had aspects of both. I'm still thinking about that. I found it more entertaining than a good race. Now that there was... basically, I guess we'll draw the comparison, like she said, even Formula One has trouble racing in the rain. And there is a threshold of water on the track where even the F1 guys, you know, their sanctioning body will stop a race. They have, they will. There is a point where no one can race in the rain because it just gets too far. Sports cars as well, you just get to that point. That point at Mid-Ohio did not occur, but the few guys in there that were talented in rain and road courses did run well. There was a new driver from India, I think his last name was Alan, who finished 13th in his Xfinity Series debut, his NASCAR debut, basically. Andy Lally came home with a top 10, another very talented road racer. But the field was really not full of road race experience guys, especially in the rain. And you saw that, whereas in F1, you do see a different type of race because just about everybody there has experience road racing as well on a wet track. So when that happens, it's more or less game on as usual in F1. You just have different conditions to which the drivers deal with, but that's part of their job. You road race, you race in the rain. I've taken Skip Barber racing classes at Lime Rock Park in Connecticut, and we raced in the rain. Summertime several years ago, we were in the heat and the dry, and a thunderstorm came over. Well, they were teaching us lessons in the rain anyway. Well, we just kept rolling. They said it was a perfect example of what to do and how to do it. So the thunderstorm came over. We just kept going around that track, got soaking wet, but they taught us how to race in the rain. So that's a normal part of road racing, whereas in ovals, it rains, you stop, you wait for a dry track. And I understand that from both aspects of it. So if you have some thoughts on the Xfinity Series race, feel free to chime in. A question I have for several major sanctioning bodies was that August 14th, Sunday afternoon, 2016, where the heck was everybody? NASCAR Sprint Cup had the weekend off. They periodically do throughout the year. I've preached this on this show before. Where were the rest of the guys? Here was a golden opportunity for IndyCar, the NHRA, or IMSA, other major national sanctioning bodies, to showcase their product, their cars, their talents in front, and sponsors, most importantly, in front of a good audience. They're with NBC, so caught up in the Olympics, NASCAR Sprint Cup, having the time off, this was a great opportunity, especially the NHRA, who has a deal with Fox, Fox Sports 1, 2, IMSA as well. IndyCar, I can see a little bit because of the Olympic coverage. Their television deal at this point of their season is with NBC, so they could have been faced with the same prospect that NASCAR was, where the Xfinity race had to go to the USA Network because of so much other time filled with Olympic coverage between the solid NBC coverage, all the other NBC Sports Network, the other channels that they have. I can see where IndyCar may have to lay off the throttle. But mostly, you could have gotten another television network possibly to do it. You should have been on the air somewhere anyway. I've said this before. NASCAR Sprint Cup, for instance, already has their 2017 schedule out. IMSA, NHRA, and IndyCar should not be afraid. Don't be afraid of the NASCAR Sprint Cup series. However, take advantage of those open dates. When they are on a Sunday afternoon and you have some Saturday night races, try that. See what you can do about moving, you know, racing on Saturday night when Sprint Cup is on Sunday afternoon, and vice versa. Those Saturday night cup races, they're the big monster powerhouse in the United States. Take advantage of that Sunday afternoon. IMSA, NHRA, IndyCar, grab a Sunday afternoon show. This weekend was perfect for something. No Sprint Cup race at all, no truck race. Only the Xfinity cars racing media was available. You guys weren't there. It's shocking. I think somebody missed a golden opportunity. Not only that, who was there? The dirt guys. This was a huge, huge weekend for dirt. They paid out a lot of money. The Knoxville Nationals we talked about. A-Main on Saturday night, $150,000 to win. The Lucas Oil Late Models had a feature on Thursday and a feature on Saturday. $30,000 to win Thursday, $50,000 to win Saturday. $80,000 between the two if you could have snagged them both. Even the small block modifieds raced Saturday night at Grandview, Pennsylvania. 50 laps is still a cool $10,000 to win at Grandview. The World of Outlaw Late Models had a four-day stretch Thursday through Sunday. Each race paid $10,000 or more to win. So the national touring sanctioning bodies, I think, dropped the ball, did not take advantage of a wonderful opportunity here to go compete on Sunday afternoon. Yeah, the dirt guys were smart enough to take advantage of it. Maybe by design, maybe by coincidence, but they paid out a lot of money and had some major events and some major media coverage. Good for them, because the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series had the weekend off. Jeff Gilder, I want to bring you into the conversation here a moment, so I'll cue you up if you are listening to me. Usually something we'll chat about off the air, but I'll just ask you, we need to sneak in another commercial break before the end of the show?
No, man, you do whatever you want to do.
Whatever I want to do. I like that.
You're in charge.
Oh, I'm in charge. Okay, well, be careful what you wish for.
You
cool,
can be the producer tonight, all right?
I can?
Yeah.
All right.
You call the
shots. I don't know what button to push, but
you
yeah.
You just have to say it and it happens. It's magic.
Okay. $1 million.
Boom.
I'm looking.
It's there.
Looking. Okay. Well, producer, I'll believe you. Let's get back to this Xfinity race at Mid-Ohio. Hat tip to Justin Marks, who I had a chance to work with. Yeah, believe it or not. I'll backtrack a little bit here. Patty K. Lilly talked about PPI, where Scott Pruitt first came to NASCAR in the year 2000. I worked at PPI in the mid-2000s, so I was there. Scott Pruitt was gone. Ricky Craven was gone. I worked there where Travis Quappel was the driver, and we eventually, unfortunately, closed the doors of PPI when they shut down about 2006, I believe it was. But I also have experience with Justin Marks. He used to race for Germain Racing back in the later 2000s. After I picked up my toolbox from PPI, I moved on to Red Bull, moved from Red Bull to Germain. Germain's still running strong in the Sprint Cup Series. Casey Mears, their driver in the Geico car. But back in the day, 2008, we'll call it, Justin Marks was a regular on the Truck Series. I worked at Germain. We had Todd Bodine and Justin Marks in the trucks. Got to know Justin there. He was a road racer. You saw his skills showcased Saturday at Mid-Ohio. And I'll tell you what, he had a hard time adjusting to the oval track cars, especially the trucks. Won't call it anything but what it was. There was some torn up steel and sheet metal there. As a good, talented road racer, but you have to learn oval track racing, super speedway racing. It's just a different animal in a different ball game. But he was a good guy, nice guy. He learned his craft. He does more behind-the-scenes work now, but you saw him step onto center stage and the spotlight the other day, Saturday, in the rain, on a road course, in NASCAR. And gosh darn it, he was in victory lane, and they all had the same chance. So hat tip to Justin Marks. I thought that was fantastic to see him come along and wind up in victory lane. Last Wednesday at Thompson, I gave you the results from the modified show. Another event that happened at Thompson Connecticut Speedway was the release of a book about Ron Bouchard. Bones Boussier is the author of that. Bones has been on our show several times. A lot of you, I know who he is and have read his work. He has a weekly column in Speedway Illustrated, Dick Berggren's magazine, and got a lot of books that are available through Coastal 181. He's written about Tracy Hines, Bugsy Stevens, Eddie Flemke, Parnelli Jones, Phil Simpson. I can go on and on and on. One of his biggest books is Richie Evans, is right on my shelf here. Brand new book, Ron Bouchard, Tales from a Kid from Fitchburg, Massachusetts, released last Wednesday. Ronnie, we lost to cancer within the last year. One of my favorite modified drivers growing up, moved to the Winston Cup Grand National ranks in 1981, was a winner at Talladega, and always a little bit of a hometown hero, and held a lot of pride for the modified fans up north, as he was a top runner and a good runner, top 10 guy in the upper ranks of NASCAR. We lost him last year, and Bones did an outstanding job in putting together a lot of interviews, a lot of tales from about Bouchard. And that book debuted last Wednesday, was released at the Thompson Connecticut Speedway. I was hoping I could make it up for that somehow, some way. A Wednesday in Connecticut. How do I do that? How do I get there? I don't know. I was hoping some way would pop up, but I couldn't be there. But I've spoken to Bones lately about some other writing projects, and it's always good to visit with him. And I wish him well with that book. So if you're a Ronnie Bouchard fan, I can vouch. I have not read the book. I can vouch for the offer. I can vouch for Bouchard. And if you're looking for a dynamite book, I'm sure of it. I'll stake my reputation on it. Coastal181.com. Check out that book about Ron Bouchard, which just was debuted last Wednesday. And I want to talk more about books. A few of you that are friends with me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter, knowing I have been gushing for a few days about a new book I picked up, not new on print, it's a few years old, but new to me, is a book titled Black Noon. Very rough and grim race at Indianapolis in 1964, the running of the 500. Author is Art Garner out of California, and the amount of research and intricate details that he talks about from this from the year leading up to this race and different drivers is phenomenal. He did an outstanding job with his work on this book. It's titled Black Noon. Eddie Sachs and Dave McDonald lost their lives during the race, and this was the first time ever in 1964 the Indianapolis 500 was stopped because of an accident where they actually stopped the race. This was it, a tragic day. It wound up being A.J. Foyt's second victory in the race. He went on to win four. And it was, gosh, there was on the drawing board was the move from gasoline to methanol, the front engine roadster versus the rear engine car. A lot of revolution coming at this point in the speedway. A lot of stories intersecting and colliding in the perfect storm, so to speak. But the race, if you are an auto racing historian like I am, I'm a big geek like that. particularly the Indianapolis 500, a race near and dear to my heart. Book is called Black Noon. Author is Art Garner. I highly recommend that. Before we sign off tonight, NASCAR Wayland Southern Modified Tour driver Andy Seiss and his wife Jen welcomed Lyle David, their new little boy, into the world this past weekend. Congratulations. Andy will be heading to Bristol Motor Speedway, their race Wednesday night, a doubleheader, the Northern and Southern NASCAR Wayland Modified Tours. New dad, Andy Seiss. good luck to him. He's been on our show a few times. Everybody in between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, speedwayreport.com. Vicki Miller, Paul Bloffus, and Steve Zonger contribute features there. Check out speedwayreport.com for some great columns, articles, some from myself as well, in our program podcasts. Tonight's podcast will be up on speedwayreport.com a little bit later, so you can just click on there and check out if you missed anything, particularly Tim Leeming. You were a little late this evening, and I took a shot at you before you could get on the air, get in the chat room. It's there, bud. Check out the podcast of Speedway Report. If not, it is coming back around for you tomorrow night on Racing Through History, 7 p.m. Tuesday night here on Racers Reunion Radio. We call it the Goat Rodeo, a wonderful show. Like I was just talking about history, stock car motorsports is thrashed forward and backward. Racing Through History tomorrow at 7 Eastern Time, and Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern Time with Free Pennington. Since I am the producer, I'm still going to thank the other producer and traffic director down in North Myrtle Beach, Jeff Gilder, for the work this evening. I appreciate you bringing us to life, and all the off-radio headaches I give for you that you help me with and I try to fix myself. Dude, I appreciate all the work you do down there at the beach.
My pleasure, buddy.
Thank you to everyone on the chat rooms for tuning in, both the stock car site and the drag racer site. It's great to be part of your Racers Reunion family. Thank you for having me along. Now is the time, folks. Summer is it's getting late in the run, but your local tracks are racing. I urge each one of you, please go see a race at a track near you. The grassroots ovals, drag strips, and road courses are the backbone and foundation of the world of auto racing. So go check out a local track near you. RacersReunion.com has all our programming, not just here, not just Speedway Report, but all of our shows, podcasts. So we have live programming Mondays and Tuesdays. If you missed anything or you want to check it out again, head to RacersReunionRadio.com. If you want to hear Speedway Report, head to SpeedwayReport.com. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and listening to Racers Reunion Radio, take care of yourselves and come home soon. And a special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been listening to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. Produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. All of our NHRA friends and drag racing pals that appreciate great music, stay tuned right where you are for Bill Pratt, John Buckelman, and Barb Santucci on Racin' and Rockin' with Draglist.com. A reminder to like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back in 1 week, and we'll talk about 4 NASCAR series from Bristol, Tennessee, IndyCars from Pocono, NHRA from Brainerd, Minnesota, and plenty of short track racing. Congrats to Andy Seiss on the new baby. Thank you all for listening. Good night.